In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So I remember it like it was yesterday. In fact, it was today, a year ago, that was my last day at my previous parish. We had our annual meeting that day. The next morning, quite early, I got on an airplane in Seattle, and a few hours later I landed in Philadelphia. I was about to begin to serve a group of people whose representatives I had only met twice. And one of those times was through a video conference. I was a little anxious. Life was changing. And life wasn't just changing for me, right? I was dragging my family into this too. This was right in the middle of the school year. Together, my whole family was stepping out of countless important relationships and wondering, how would we build new ones? What did God have in store for us here? And could we trust that it would be something good? I imagine that some of you probably had similar feelings about my arrival. Maybe you still do. What is this new priest going to be like? What would happen to the St. Thomas that you have known and loved? The only thing that you could count on was that things were changing. But would those changes be good? Our readings today all speak to persons who are experiencing change and wondering whether they can trust in God's presence in the midst of change. Is God trustworthy? Are we able to trust God? Our first reading from Nehemiah is one of my favorites because at the same time it is so strange and so familiar. Nehemiah dwells among a city of refugees who have just returned home after a long exile. Most of them are now foreign-born. And yet as their city took shape, the returning people gathered and asked that the Torah, the account of God's promises and God's invitation to life with God, be read to them. And so what happened, what we heard, was kind of like our Easter vigil, if the vigil lasted all week long. What the people heard brought them great joy because of God's promises. And what the people heard brought them great sorrow for the ways they had missed out on knowing God heretofore. They had forgotten their own value in God's eyes. They had forgotten how to be the people of God. And so they listened to God's love letter for them. These people were anxious. God's invitation wasn't familiar or comfortable. It wasn't a low-key invitation about wearing the right clothes and saying the right words and showing up at the right place on the Sabbath. These were not the things that were most important in God's law. Religious rites and good deeds were practices that led towards God, for sure. But they were just externalities, the shallow end of the pool. And what the people heard in God's law was an invitation to shed those water wings and to jump into the deep end. They heard an invitation to faith. Faith in God's goodness. Faith in God's concern for them. Faith in God's good intentions for the particularities of their lives. Faith in God's ability to carry out those intentions. Faith which finds expression in a radical obedience by which they might open themselves to a deeper experience of God. Our epistle reading today from 1 Corinthians is similar. It's about the first generation of Christians trying to figure out, trying to understand what it means to be the people of God. The church in Corinth is experiencing the new and the unknown and the uncomfortable. God's power is at work in their community, but the experience is unnerving. It is scary and confusing and disruptive. Embracing God's presence and work among them means letting go of the familiar, letting go of hierarchy and domination and uniformity. They have received an invitation to have faith in God's goodness, in God's concern, in God's intentions, a faith that would lead them, like the people of Nehemiah's time, into a present experience of God's love for them. And so it is in our gospel reading today, an event that's nestled in time between Nehemiah and the church in Corinth, and yet an event that is timeless, that Jesus makes his cosmic proclamation from the words of the prophet Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Isaiah had summarized God's mission among humankind, right? The project that God had been engaged with from the very beginning. And Isaiah was a participant in that project. But Jesus claimed a different relationship to that project. Right? Jesus said, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." Jesus said, "Today, the wait is over. The promise is not for someday. It's not for somewhere over the rainbow. God's kingdom isn't just about a promise of heaven when you die. Eternal life doesn't start sometime in the future. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." When Jesus came along, all that the people of Nehemiah's day had yearned for, hadn't even dared to hope for, had cried in their fearful disbelief of, that was made known and present. After Jesus' resurrection, the church in Corinth struggled to escape from their own fears and preoccupations in order to recognize and live into what Jesus meant for their lives. Something new was happening. But would those changes be good? Was God trustworthy? So I've been at St. Thomas for a year now. We together have been through a whole cycle of the feasts and fasts of the church. And I'm excited about the work that we've begun to do together. I give thanks to God every day for the privilege of being here and serving among you. I give thanks for the history that has made St. Thomas the church that it is today and the future that lies ahead of us. But here's the thing. God's promise for St. Thomas is a promise for today. It's not about a continuation of the past. There's much to be proud of about our past and much that continues to guide us. But God's work is not about nostalgia and wishing for the good old days. St. Thomas isn't a museum. Likewise, God's work isn't primarily in the future. God's work is not primarily about our dreams and expectations. I have a hint for you. Your dreams, they're too small. All of our dreams, they're too small. God can and will do great things among us, things that we can't even imagine. But the future is not given to us any more than the past is. The future lies in God's hands. What is given to us is today. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Today, that is present and accessible. Today, in all of its mundane details, like changing the light bulbs and getting wine stains out of a purificator and driving the church van. right today and counting and cleaning and voting at the annual meeting. It is here and now, today, and the things that we do today that God chooses to act and to be present among us. The mundane becomes holy. Tasks become ministry. And God speaks to us good news of liberty, sight, and justice. God has a track record of goodness. Right? That's why we read Scripture. To hear the record of God's works among us, to learn about the ways that God works, and to learn to see those same patterns in our lives today. If God was faithful in the past, you can bet that God is faithful today. Our God is trustworthy. God is good. And it is God's goodness that empowers us, emboldens us to participate in God's goodness. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today, we step forward in obedience to encounter God together. Amen.
Amen.